Hey guys, I've noticed a substantial increase in visible pollutants in all municipal and county water systems for over the last 5 years. The tap water these days is noticeably cloudy, no matter the location. I have examined the water many times under a microscope in those 5 years. Ironically, the so-called microscope armies are cherry-picking what they choose to examine and to report, yet another form of control. So many researchers have been screaming from the mountaintop for years about these synthetic life forms that can be found virtually everywhere and in everyone. Current narrative findings are framed around the vaccine and those injected to explain away these contaminants. However, if these same microscope armies had looked 5, 10, or even 15 years ago, they would have found the same components and material they are seeing today.
And there is no new thing under the sun.
With a few exceptions to this Satanic Systems Program's update, of course. So until I met Tony, I had no clue of what this freak show was that I was finding, what I was seeing, how to explain it. So now I'm going to bring my friend Tony in and have him respond to my tap water finding.
All right, Tony, this is the first video. What we have here, water is poured straight from the tap right into a glass fixture. This glass fixture is under a microscope. And I just want your response to any and every little single debris or component you see in here. I'm going to go ahead and play it.
Okay. Right now we're noticing that the water is very dense, right?
Yeah.
Got the light on it. Light isn't penetrating. That's telling you that the water itself is loaded, heavily loaded and saturated with nanoparticulates. Okay. See that there? What you're seeing there is a protein enclosure of the fullerene assembling in the center. See that line? Okay. That's using the very protein itself to create what they call a ligand. The ligand is a component that the nanotechnology utilizes in order to bind with whatever it's assembling. So it's breaking off whatever protein that came from, whether it may came from somebody's urine, maybe it came from somebody's, from some kind of something that bypassed the filtration system, a bacteria, anything. And so as you can see, in the center, you got what looks like a thick wire or a cable. That's a carbon nanotube. So if you see the protrusion sticking out past the protein on the bottom right, that's it assembling. And as it's assembling, it's using the protein to break, as breaks down the protein to extend that tubing. Okay. So that's what we're seeing there.
So what's your response to people who say you can't see nano under a microscope?
The lengths of these structures can be extended to hundreds of micrometers and would connect nano-level system to microscopic level. And surprisingly, no other known material can produce such extreme length to dimension ratio, millions of times longer than what they are wide. Because of this, the nanowires have an extremely high ratio of surface area to volume. That makes them very good as a detectors because all of the surface area can be treated to bind with specific chemical and biological molecules.
I tell them they're full of shit. You can go online and you can order nanoparticles everywhere. Anything from 0 to 50 nanoparts per billion, anything from 0 to 50 nanometers, you have to use a special scope. But anything above 100 nanometers, you don't need any scope will work. Because what happens is the particles will agglomerate or aggregate. In other words, they'll consolidate so you can see them. So if you have even a 60x scope, you'll be able to see that. So we're able to see this. So there goes that bullshit about you can't see nanoparticles without a special scope. This is what we're seeing. This is an assembly aspect of it going on right there in the water. So this debris that's in the water is assembling. See all this black stuff here? Okay, that's light reflecting. But that's a fullerene cable there. Yeah, but that's basically a carbon nanotube with two bots inside of that being held in place by what they call nano cages. Nano cages hold nanobots, and they're designed to take the nanobot to specific locations throughout the body so that when they get there, the cage opens up, the pod then releases these fullerenes that extend out of the bot, looks like a mop, and it starts to initiate and engaging the integration into wherever it's at. And what winds up happening is that technology can even start assembling microchips inside the body. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to go in, say you've got a cancer, say you've got some kind of degenerate disease going on, a virus, I shouldn't say a virus, a bad protein, a bacterium, a fungi. It's designed to go in, interact with that component, and then either assimilate it or break it down or to carry whatever chemical composition, whatever. What winds up happening is that cage that's surrounding that, that looks like a black spool or black mass. What winds up happening there is then that gets reassimilated into the technology. Oh, that's a beauty. All right, right there. You can see here very clearly, okay, all those oval things, that's just light reflection. But when you see these like massive balls inside, that's a fullerene, not a worm, not a rope worm, not any of that bullshit they've been saying. That inside, that's a cage. Okay, now inside, you'll see what looks like a silver component. That's an actual bot. Looks like a sesame seed. It's not sesame seed, a poppy seed kind of ball. They're wrapped inside of each one of those things, and they're attached to a fullerene, which means they're extending the assembly of that fullerene so that it can further extend the tube or the connection so that these particles can flow back and forth and go wherever they need to go. And then again, they become more attached to the body. So this is all you're seeing. This here is just part of a construction. And this would have been collected in the water itself. As you can still see, the water is hazy. Right? The background, you can't see through the water. It's hazy because there are
thick particles everywhere.
Yeah, billions of particles in there for that to attract to continue the construction. So the material is all there. The energy is there for it to be utilized. The program is in the bots. The program is already inserted into these components. So all they do is they do what they're programmed to do. And that is to, again, replicate, repair, and reproduce itself, okay, or through construction, through integration. And the material is in abundance in the water. As you can see, you can't see through the water because the water is loaded with the tech.
Right. So a good analogy might would be if this right here would be a factory, right?
Yep.
Or like a textile factory. And what this factory has its own lumber yard. Its own material yard that it can, whenever it runs out of materials, it's surrounded by materials.
Yeah.
Get right into this facility to make this structure right here that is jutting out from it, right?
Yeah.
There will be protein in there. There'll be carbon in there. There'll be lipid material in there. That's what it needs to act as a ligand. Like I said, that's what's utilized to hold it all together. Like that's a fullerene, and you can see you got two spots there. Where again, you have bots on both ends in a what they call a nano cage. A nano cage basically is a carrier of nanobots to be delivered to specific areas. Here, there you have a cluster of bots in that one there. Okay, yep, that's a cluster. Look, that's a beauty.
I'm trying. I think it comes back around.
That one is unique because it's surrounded by what looks to be a carbon or silica material. Within it, it's constructing whatever it's constructing there, a fullerene assembly. And again, this is what we'd call a dendromere. Okay, a dendromere can be a cluster, a big ball of clusters of different constructs within itself, so that when it goes wherever it needs to go, it releases these bots or these constructs so that it can now further extend the network in the body. So you got dendromeres, you got bots, you got single-walled carbon nanotubes, multi-walled carbon nanotubes, you've got origami. An origami in nanotechnology is a platform. Before you get to the platform, you have something called a lattice. A lattice will be a protein or a carbon material that will take the shape of whatever it's going to construct, be a square, a circle, a rectangular, a pentagon, whatever. It lays down the foundation like a house. You lay out your foundation down, and then you build your house on that foundation. This engages the platform that's going to be built on that lattice to take the shape of whatever it's programmed to do. And then from there, other things are constructed on that origami or that platform, which then extends the fullerenes to go every which way to further network the system, sort of like a circuit board. You can equate it to something like that.
Would a dendrimer be the same as a buckyball?
But the buckyball is a construct. So a dendrimer can hold tons of buckyballs. It's like a big ball that carries a bunch of them.
Okay.
So here we go. We got, again, same thing. You got fullerenes extending. You got a nano cage around a bunch of nanobots that's inside. It may not be just one. It could be a dozen nanobots. You know, I have blown these things out where they left is a charred material, and you see like dozens of little what look like BBs. These are bots, all of them. So, see, again, that's a carbon nanotube there. That's a tube. The difference between a tube and a wire is a tube will have been inside the person or has been constructed for a longer period of time. That's a wire that's below, doesn't have any bots, just a wire. It's a fullerene. That's a carbon nanotube. That's a thick, thick, thick fullerene assembly that actually looks like, when you pull them out, looks like tiny, thick wires. And this has a series of different bots that are attached to it. So whatever was in that water, wherever that water came from, you can see that the water filtration systems that are currently being used are not adequate in order to get the stuff out. Then you got different debris that looks a little thicker. Those could be quantum dots. Quantum dots act as a power source, like a battery or a capacitor. And once they're charged up, they sometimes, when you pull them out of your body, they'll actually be glowing. And when they glow, they'll glow bright, and then all of a sudden they fade once they've been pulled out of the system. But that's what powers these things to assemble in the system. They collect the energy, they store it like a capacitor or like a battery, and then they're utilizing that energy for the construction. And where they're getting the energy from is from your mitochondria, from your neural network, from your biochemistry, anything in your body that can produce some form of energy, it taps into it and then draws it to it. And again, it doesn't look like a lot when you see it in perspective of size. It's very small. But when you look at, you got thousands and millions of these things, then look at this. This is a beauty. That's a beauty. Look at that. You got all kinds of bots. That's an extending, they're extending that tube as a net part of the network, like a fiber optic cable. Keep going down to that. Okay, that's light reflecting from whatever you were using. Look how long that is.
I know.
Okay, now here we go again. Look at the extension here. Look at that. Now that's splitting its construction. It's extending, it's branching out. That's what you're seeing there. Look at this again. Holy jumping. This is in the water. And now when you drink this, okay, you have to understand, when you drink this, right here. You got all these bots together, and you can see how they're interacting with each other. They are networking, and they're building something. But this could wind up becoming an implant. This could be winding up becoming a platform where you have multi networks going on at the same time. Okay, when you got that much going on, and you drink something like that or eat something like that, that's already in mid-construction. Your body acids cannot break this down. If these are carbon nanotubes, which again are three times harder than diamond and 100 times stronger than steel, you have nothing in your body that can break that down. You have to disengage it, and you have to flush it with something afterwards. You cannot just take a detox to get this out. This is active. This is operating. This is assembling. And any direct energy force on this, if you attack it, you may knock it down twice. The third time, it will have developed a defense. It self-assembles, self-replicates, self-repairs. This is an operating system, not just a bunch of metal, like everyone's thinking. Okay, this is not Morgellons. These are fullerenes. So we have to make that distinction, because everyone is talking about, well, this is Morgellons. No, it's not Morgellons. Those bots are actively changing and altering the genetic code, so you have this networking and this manifesting of these growth of fibers. These fibers are synthetic biology. They're not a Morgellons. Okay. Morgellons was an entitlement they gave at the very beginning because they didn't know what it was, so they gave it a name, and they gave it a name so they could market a drugs and whatever they could market it for. This is an assembly of synthetic biology working through operating systems and programs. So when you're seeing this kind of networking going on, this is a functioning construct happening as you're seeing it here, and this is in the water. So when it gets inside you, it's got a whole plateau of brand new material, proteins, peptides, carbons, lipids, minerals that will use us in its metal constructions. That's why zeolite doesn't work with this shit. This is why Adia Clarity doesn't work with this shit, because Adia Clarity and zeolite are both zeolites, and they will feed this technology because the technology will use the silica and the aluminum in it to create, to further extend its networking. Okay, zeolite doesn't absorb, it's an adsorbent. In other words, it attracts the elements to it. If it attracts the elements to it and concentrates those elements, it can actually cause further toxification. So what we're looking at here is this stuff will use anything and everything. And as you can still see, the water is still densely, heavily populated with the nanotechnology that's in it. That's why this can happen.
Right. So what would be your response to the 35% peroxide people and the chlorine dioxide people saying this will remove it, destroy it, eliminate it?
Let's say it's an exaggeration of the immense proportion. Okay, you cannot shut down technology with a salt. Can't shut down technology with a bleach. Can't shut down the technology with an acid. It's just not going to do it. That's just pure bullshit. That's marketing. You know, we're talking just horseshit. Now, what that will do when you combine chlorine dioxide or MMS with vinegar, white vinegar, you don't want to use apple cider vinegar because apple cider vinegar is super loaded with this shit. If you combine the two, they will break down the carbon bonds, but it's not going to stop the robots or the bots inside from assembling or continuing their assault. Like I said, you can break the carbon bonds, but if you don't deactivate this program, it'll just start all over again. Like I said, after the third assault, it will come back with a vengeance, and you won't be able to use it, what you're using anymore. It'll have adapted. It's an adaptable program. So if you're not shutting it down, you're not disengaging it, you're not erasing the program, you're not burning out the program by, again, a high explosive or high spikings or surging energy hit, they're just pissing in the wind. This will just come back with a vengeance. But like I said, if you're combining the acetic acid with even peroxide, okay, producing peracetic acid, it will break the carbon bonds down. Oh, for sure. That'll do. But if it's not going to stop the programming. Anybody telling you that, they're full of shit, and they're just selling you a bunch of wives' tales there. This is an operating system. These are an adaptable operating systems. If they're not willing to shut it down because they're cheap or because they think they've got some magic potion, you run away from them because they have absolutely no idea what they're dealing with here. This is alien technology of the highest magnitude, you know, and this has been around before. It's not the first time nanotechnology has been, we as a species have been exposed to this. This has been a downfall of just about every civilization that came before us. They've used the same methods. So
without doubt.
So this is nothing new. You know, nothing new at all.
All right. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up. All right. So I'm going to show you what I did to the same water. So I ran my spike through it. So what I did was I created a wire that I could attach to my spike and then drop it into the water container. And I just wanted to see if the particle density would increase. And I'll get your opinion. But this is basically what I did. So now I'm going to pull up the water that was spiked. And the audience, too, let me know in the comment section if you think the particle density increased. I think it did, but I'm going to play it and let's see.
Okay, see those bright spots there? Those specks?
Like that?
Yeah, those are all quantum dots. And what you may have done is you may have charged the water, so you may have charged them up. And because they're in a medium with other nanoparticles, they're able to hold the charge. And once you remove them out of that environment, they dispel very quickly. So yeah, you see all that because you didn't see that much in the last video, right? We just saw the fibers and again the dense water, but you see a lot of that. See, look at that, more and more. So again, it looks like the water definitely got charged. We can see that just through the
yeah, the particle density to me, it looks much thicker, even though you could see a lot of particles before, but to me, it's even thicker now.
Yeah. And it looks like you've also charged the quantum dots that were in the water.
Like you said, it does look like some of these little particles were charged because they're a little bit brighter now than they were.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's usually your quantum dots. That's what actually acts as a conduit of power transfer to get these things to assemble. So if you probably left that water alone for a couple of days and went back and looked at it and checked this fullerene here, this fullerene fiber with that cage and bod assembly, you may find it may be longer. You may find that the bod may have split, made another one. Now, I have pulled stuff out of me where the actual construction of these things were actually replicating. They're self-replicating, and one looked exactly like the other one, but it was smaller. So it was like one gave birth to the other one, what it almost looked like. So if you look at that same water, like save it and look at it maybe, you know, in a week, see what happens, you know.
This is tap water that I distilled myself. I can't really focus in on the surface because it's not dense with particles like it was before. And now I can see to the bottom of the water.
And that's through a distillation process. So that's telling you that even through distillation, you're going to get the research that I have on it, even distillation or reverse osmosis, which are probably the best filtration things out there. You'll get a 95% filtration process. You're still going to have about 5% debris. So unless you've got a pico filtering system, where you can run water through a pico filter to collect the nano. This is probably about as good as you're going to get it.
I can't focus in on them, but you can see every now and then you'll see particles that go by, but the density isn't the same, nowhere near the same.
No, you removed the vast majority of the load that was in the water. You know, what we saw with the tap water is completely saturated with whatever shit that's in the water, right? So it's heavily, heavily, heavily inundated with nanoparticles and other pollutants, which also may be on the nanoscale.
All right, Tony, I appreciate you coming on and giving us your response to the water and your breakdown of what type of components and what they are and kind of how we're being violated through every means necessary.
We're trying to make it passive so we don't shock people to death. I get that. But
right.
I think a good shocking is needed after 13 years of just me doing what I've been doing, you know, in again, trying to report this. We're seeing more of this coming out now because of these injections. But this, what you've done here, is going to be shocking. And I think it needs to be a full-on heart attack shock, to be honest with you. So that, because people get this complacency thinking, oh, it can't be that bad. But, okay, you're in just one part of the U.S. Okay, you can any water you want to take in any part of North America, Europe, or anywhere else, you'll see the same thing. But I think everyone needs to get shocked, good and shocked, because this is a Trojan horse. Turn on your tap water. It's coming right to your door. You know, you wash your dishes with this shit. You do all this stuff with this shit, right? And so take a bath in it. You're drinking it. You know,
sanitize your hands with it.
Yeah, sanitize your hands with it, you know. So you know, needs to be, we're beyond red alert. We're in war. They've engaged. We're still sitting here, you know, not fighting back. So again, I think this has been a good expose, you know, a real good expose. And I think, like I said, it should be, you know, kudos to you for again, doing that research on it.
Because, yeah. All right. Thanks, brother.
All right. Not a worry. Anytime. Open your eyes.